we need to understand that for all those who will simply hear his voice, who will simply turn to him, God indeed has only all of the good things of the life that now is and of that which is to come in store for us. Well, what have we read here? Well, it is the story of just one man, a true story. It is the story, first of all, I believe, that makes it a little bit different, a little more unique, and very possibly of greater interest to us, because this fellow's a politician. He is a government official. He would be equivalent to our Secretary of Treasury here in the United States, but he is a religious man. We notice and we commend the fact that here is one who has left his home down in Central Africa, East Africa. He did not get the Greyhound bus. He did not get on Delta aircraft. He traveled across either by sea, but probably by land, in a chariot. And he went all the way up to the city of Jerusalem. You can measure that out on your map and determine how many hundreds of miles it would be from Ethiopia up to Jerusalem in Judea. He made that trip for an express purpose. He had made that trip in order to worship God. What kind of fellow is he? Well, we would say, I would like to know that man. I would like to get acquainted with this government official because already I know he is a good man. He is a man, though, that is still laden down with all of the sins of his life. He is searching. The way in which we are introduced, thank you, Ben, probably I need something a little more potent than the water, but I appreciate the water. Thank you very much. The thing that I believe, again, catches our attention is the fact that as he is returning back home now, after having spent this period of time in worship in Jerusalem, we notice that he is doing something else. He is searching the Scriptures. He has that Old Testament before him. In particular, we are told that he has the book of Isaiah. We wonder, why is he not occupying himself reading something else, or maybe viewing the scenery that is around him? But here is a man, again, that you and I are able to commend. And we say, well, he certainly is going about this matter of the purpose of life, of trying to be pleasing in the eyes of God in the right way. He has gone to the right book. And then the next thing that we notice is here is a preacher that comes to him. a man by the name of Philip. We are able to read about Philip earlier on in the scripture, but we are assured of the fact that Philip is a servant of God. God has sent him on a mission. He has said to Philip, you go down there on that desert road. And whenever you go down there, you're going to meet a man and you teach him the gospel. And so it is, we are told that this man who is searching the scriptures, that now he asked the man, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other one? So if you look at verse 35, you notice what I believe is the very next important thing about this man obtaining salvation. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Oh, why preach Jesus? If you, like many others, like this eunuch, say, I am seeking salvation. I want to be pleasing in the eyes of God. I want to find a home in heaven. Where do you need to turn? Well, without a shadow of a doubt, we are told here that the preaching of Jesus is the thing that is needed. We're able to read in another place, for instance, in Acts, the 4th chapter, concerning Jesus, neither is there salvation in any other. Do you notice this wording? Acts 4 and verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. In who else? There is salvation in no one other than in Jesus. Do you see how explicit the Bible is? You cannot find that forgiveness of sins. You cannot have that hope of an eternal rest in heaven without Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other name. There is no other name. This is the way the verse continues. There is no other name given among heaven, among men, whereby we must be saved. Oh, how that would save people such an awful lot of looking around. How it would help us if we would understand. You don't have to go to other world religions. They're not going to have the answer. You do not have to look to yourself for self-improvement. It is not a matter of one saying, well, I need to find some secret to this matter of having my sins forgiven and of finding peace within. Jesus is the answer. Philip knew that. And so he takes this scripture in Isaiah that depicts the death and the suffering of our Lord. And he begins at that very same scripture, and he preaches unto him Jesus. The eunuch has heard what he needs to do in order to be saved. You see, whenever we hear the preaching of Jesus, it includes more than talking about his wonderful name. It includes more than talking about the miracles or the birth or any other phase of his life. That's just a part of it. He heard as Jesus was preached to him what he needed to do. How did he react? Verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, what did they come to? They came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And the Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." How long did it take you to read that? You say, "Well, I wasn't looking at my watch, Brother Tope, but probably, what, 30 seconds or 45 minutes? Don't let anybody ever tell you that the way of salvation is so complicated you can't understand it. Don't ever let anybody whisper in your ear or tell you otherwise. "Well, if you could be saved, we'll never be able to figure it out." Well, here it is. Here it is. And you know, it's just repetitive of what we find in other places in the Scripture. If you were reading, looking through the book of Romans, for instance, and you came to the 10th chapter of Romans and you dropped down to about verse 9 or 10, do you know you would read these very same things? "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Well, that's what this fella just does, isn't it? Jesus is preached to him. He says, "Look, here's water. Well, what's going to keep me from being baptized?" Philip says, "There is something. There is something that would keep you from being baptized. If you believe, you may." And here is this grand and wonderful confession that we find. "I believe." Doesn't have to do with other folks right now. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That he is the Son of God. A person that makes that confession never ever regrets that they do it. That's what he did. Look what happens. He commanded, I'm at verse 38 of Acts 8. He commanded the chariot to stand still. You know what's going to have to happen? Both the preacher and the man, they're going to have to get out of that chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Why? Why? Well, let's keep on flipping through our Bible a little bit. We were at Romans chapter 10. Now let's turn on over to Galatians, the third chapter. And we come down nearly to the end of the chapter, not quite. And we're at verse 26. And we read then, "For we are all the children of God." Every one of us. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. "For as many of you, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Well, that's what has just happened to this man, isn't it? Reading the scriptures, saying, "Come and explain this to me." Philip preaches Jesus to him. And Philip says, "Look, right over here is water." He believes. He makes a confession with his mouth. Boy, they didn't wait, did they? Didn't say next year, next month. Stop the chariot. Get down out of there. Walk into the water. Baptized. Because he was already saved? No. We're all the children of God by faith. As many of you. Nobody else. But as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, something wonderful has happened. You've put on Christ. You put on Christ. Look at 39. I think it's just as vital as all of it. "When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away." You see, that preacher wasn't needed anymore, was he? "He caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." A happy time. The best event of your life. Which one is it? When you were born? Well, that was a happy time. Well, when you graduate from high school. Hallelujah, I don't have to study anymore. Uh-oh. Well, when I get my degree from university, when I get my first job, some fellas are really deceived when I get my first boat. When's the best time in your life? The best time in your life is when you put on Christ in baptism. That's the happiest day of all. A lot of lessons there, aren't there? A lot of lessons for wise people to pay attention to. Just this very simple event as it's recorded. What other lessons can we learn? Well, we can learn the wonder of God's book, the wonder of the Bible. There's no other book like it. Do you know what occasioned this man's salvation? The Bible had foretold 800 years before this eunuch is sitting here reading it. Old Isaiah, the prophet, He, way, way back there in the history of Israel, is moved by the Holy Spirit of God to write these words. He is telling us about the death of Jesus that Philip will talk to the eunuch about. You know why I'm glad I'm a preacher? I am talking about a book, and there's none other like it. None other like it. You know, I don't even give it a second thought. Whenever people say, Brother Tope, why aren't you preaching the Book of Mormon? Well, I wouldn't preach the Book of Mormon for all the money in the world. Well, somebody says, haven't you ever read Science and Health and the Key to the Scriptures? Yeah, I've read that silly book. But you know, I wouldn't preach from it. I wouldn't try to teach anybody from it. Well, how about the Koran, Brother Tope? You know, there are just millions of people today that are following the Koran. Oh, yeah, I've got the Koran in my library, too. But you know, there's none of those books, not a single one of them, that can compare with the Bible. Those books the Mormons wrote, I'm sorry, but they predicted that the South was going to win the Civil War. Didn't happen. What's wrong? What's wrong with the prophecies? What's wrong with somebody in any other book that tries to foretell the future? Well, they can't do it. They can't do it. You say, Brother Tope, I want proof that the Bible is the Word of God. Well, you've just received it. Acts, the 8th chapter. It is the most wonderful book in all the world because the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that are found, every single one of them has been fulfilled. Well, are there any lessons here for Christians? Yes, the importance of telling others the good news. Did you notice what the eunuch said? Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch replied, well, how can I except some man should guide me? Now, that doesn't take away from the individual's ability to understand the Word of God. But what it does mean is God has determined that there are to be teachers of His Word. And do you know who those teachers are? Every disciple of Jesus. All of us are to reach out to our neighbors. All of us are to reach out to those who are reading the Bible and want to understand it. Oh, what a privilege is ours as we follow the example of Philip. You good ladies who have husbands that are not Christians, and you open the Word of God. I hope you do that every night at home, to study from God's Word. Those of you who have mothers and fathers that are not Christians, do you realize what a privilege you have in being able to follow the example of Philip? Those of us who have children in our household, why? Don't ever say there's nobody out there to teach. Well, you've got these children that God has given into your hands. Teach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God from your knee. Tell others Jesus is the Son of God. Well, for all of us, what do we learn from the eunuch? Don't put off obedience. Don't put off obedience. You know, the wonderful thing about all of these conversions in the New Testament, the people just heard the gospel for the first time. Now you stop and think about that. The day of Pentecost, well, it was the very first time those 3,000 people had heard the command, repent and be baptized. And they just obeyed immediately. A little later on, we will read about a great company of the priests that were obedient to the faith. Philip, before this time, comes to a city in Samaria. And they immediately, as they hear Jesus preached, they are baptized, both men and women, verse 12. Now here's this eunuch. He doesn't say to Philip, well, you know, that's a pretty good message. There's a lot of good things there, Philip, that you're talking about. I think I'm going to go on back to Ethiopia, and I'm going to study Isaiah a little bit more, and I'm going to pray maybe and see if God is going to say something to me. Well, they don't do that. The same hour of the night. Seize the moment. The moment for you, if you have not yet confessed your faith in Jesus, if you have not yet been baptized in order to put on Christ, this is the time. The eunuch teaches you that. This is the time. Do you know there's no downside to becoming a Christian? There's no downside to that. It's all good. It's all right. Have you fallen away? Have you denied the Lord? Come on back home. Let's stand and sing.